Well, our second scripture reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. Listen now for a word from God. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. Now this was a prayer. Jesus was praying here. Prayer is one of the most important things that we learn from the Bible. So do you pray? Think about, do you pray? And how do you pray? There are many ways to pray, as we all know. But one of the things that I admire, actually, about the Muslim faith, as I am trying to learn more and more about their faith, is their prayer practice of praying 5 times a day. No matter where they are or what they are doing, they stop. And I think if our faith had a prayer practice like this, we might be better off mentally and physically to have that routine. So if you're curious about it, I did make handouts about what it is that the Muslims do 5 times a day and how they pray and how they prepare for prayer by washing every time they're going to pray. So it's more than just praying, it's also washing, which is healthy too, especially with all these germs going around. And so I have out in the narthex made some copies for you so you can see what they say in their prayers too. It is a rote prayer that they pray 5 times a day, but it's interesting to see what they pray about and how they do their prayers. In the Christian faith, we are given freedom to decide when and how to pray. And one definition of prayer that we think of as Christians is raising one's mind and heart to God, just raising it up to God. And that does give us a lot of freedom on how to pray, doesn't it? St. Teresa of Lisieux described prayer as a surge of the heart. It's a simple look turned toward heaven. It's a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy. There are so many ways to pray, vocally, mentally, in contemplation. Prayers can be sung. The Psalms, you know, are all prayers that were written in a way that can be sung. And they can be said, prayers can be said with a rosary. Sometimes people really need that tangible way to focus on prayer. And there's other prayer tools now, like the ancient labyrinth way of a walking prayer, which I hope we can do someday, maybe in one of our sacred space evening services, to facilitate a prayerful state of mind. Since we have such freedom on how to pray, we might find it hard for ourselves personally to find the best method. Or the way we pray might change as we change throughout our life. There's really no right or wrong way to pray. Sometimes when you think about how your prayer life has evolved over your years, you may have started like I did with a very rote way of praying. I remember I always prayed at bedtime, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Guard me, Jesus, through the night and wake me with the morning light." I know there's a sort of negative ending to that too, that my mother switched it to a positive ending. But there's, yeah, "If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take" is the other ending, which, you know, is supposed to, I think, help people not be afraid to die. But I liked the "Guard me, Jesus, through the night and wake me with the morning light." And then as I got older, I added intercessions to that prayer. And I would add, like, "And please be with my mom and dad and all my brothers and my grandmas and my aunts and my uncles, and keep them all well and keep them all safe." And my mother would sit patiently beside my bed while I would say this prayer out loud every night. And it got really long. I remember in my mind as I was praying it, I would see like a river, and I would keep adding to the river. And especially when my brothers were in Vietnam, I added a lot to the river about them being in the war and things like that. And the images that I saw on TV at that time about the war really had me stretch out that river pretty long. And my mom must have gotten pretty tired, but she was patient. Now, one of the greatest gifts I think Jesus gave us while here on earth was the motivation and the modeling on how to pray. Connecting us to the God of the universe, we are given peace and a sense of God's presence and love and a healthy life practice that gives us a sense, a little sense of control anyway, as we're dealing with life stress and the chaos in the world. And so if you look at the origins of prayer in our faith tradition, we look first to Jesus to learn how to pray. And this passage I read today is just part, it's the very beginning of a much longer prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples and for all of you. The whole of John chapter 17 is a prayer. So if you get home and read it, it's really good to read the whole thing. As followers of Christ, we are to imitate everything about Jesus that we possibly can, including how he prayed. And so praying like Jesus is one of the most important ways to imitate him, because he came to earth really to show us how to be the best humans we can possibly be. And so here are 8 habits our Savior modeled in order to teach us how to live a powerful prayer life. He showed us how we first should pray before making big decisions. Luke 6:12-13 describes how Jesus prayed before he chose his disciples. It says, "Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God, the whole night. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles." Prayer keeps us in tune with God's will and purpose. So to know God's will for us, we must seek to know God and spend time with God in prayer, and also reading the Bible regularly. Next, we are instructed to pray habitually. In Luke 22:39, Jesus showed his disciples the importance of prayer by going to a favorite prayer spot that Jesus had found and praying there. And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, it says, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him there. So his favorite prayer spot was the Mount of Olives. So try to make a habit of spending time with God in prayer, and it probably would help if we each could find a prayer spot, a special place where it's a routine or a habit, like the Muslim habit of 5 times a day at pre-selected times. If you could find a special time where you always prayed or a special spot where you always sat and prayed, I think that helps us do it. And then third, we're told to pray for others. John 17, 20, after today's part of John 17, Jesus' prayer goes on to say, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." So when you stop and think of it, isn't it incredibly powerful to think that Jesus prayed to God on our behalf? Jesus prayed for all his people there with him that night and all who would come in the future. And this prayer reveals the deep love Jesus has for his disciples, which does include all of us here today. And this also shows that we're not to have a selfish prayer life. Our prayers are to include intercessory prayer, asking Jesus to intercede for us and for the needs of others. So when we feel weak and alone, another time to pray is at times when we are feeling weak. Matthew 26, 41 encourages prayer when we are personally troubled. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Prayer is necessary for strength in times of trouble, and it prepares you for tough times that you might be anticipating are coming up. My oldest son, Ryan, is kind of off and on where his faith life is and where his prayer life is. But last week, I got a text from him, and my daughter, Catherine, got the same text. And it said, "Pray for me. I'm going into my podiatric surgery board exam." And so we were like, wow, he's asking us to pray for him. This is great. And, you know, at times like this, when he was especially feeling stressed, they have to keep up their skills, you know, and their knowledge base as surgeons, and he does podiatric surgery, so from the knee down. And he'd been studying and studying for weeks for this board exam to keep up his license. So we were both really happy. So I prayed that his brain work well, that he have a sense of peace, that he would understand the questions, that his answers would come out smoothly, and I kept envisioning like his brain and things like that. And so afterwards, I checked with him, and he said, "I think it helped." So we hope so. We haven't gotten the results back yet. But Jesus also showed us how to pray in community and alone, both. Jesus brought others with him along to pray. And the scripture says in Luke 9, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him up to his favorite mountain to pray. And this is why we have the hour of prayer. I know all of us who come on Fridays to the hour of prayer really find it as a powerful experience to share our needs and our prayers for others. And it also bonds us together. So I don't know if you noticed, but starting in June now, it will be starting next week, we have one more hour of prayer on Friday, and then the following week we're going to move it up to Thursday because the office hours are changing that second week of June to Monday through Thursday. So if you haven't come to the hour of prayer on Friday, maybe it's because you were busy at noon on Friday, we invite you to come now on Thursdays after next week. And we meet in the Rose Room, and it's a lovely time of listening to music and listening to scripture and praying silently, and then also sharing our prayers with one another. So it'll be the Thursday noon hour of prayer after next week. Now, we have a time of praying alone for ourselves too, which is always important. And Mark 1:35 says, "Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray." Having a distraction-free, uninterrupted time with God will help your whole body, mind, and spirit. And this has been proven scientifically. It's proven over and over again. The Buddhists get a lot out of spending a lot of time in prayer, but also us Christians do too when we take the time. It enhances your resilience. It gives you a sense of peace, and it really does help you not stress about the problems at home or in the world. Know God is listening. John 11:41 reminds us that God hears our prayers. It says, "And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me.'" So be confident and trust that God is listening and cares about your behalf, even if the answer isn't as fast or isn't as exactly as you were asking for it in prayer. Like our song said, remember that God knows best and God's timing is best. But remember, too, to be routine about prayer again. And it shows in Mark 6:41 that we should pray before meals or during or after meals. Just be thankful for the way God provides. This scripture shows the importance of grace. It says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and he broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. And he also divided the 2 fish among them all. So doing this reminds us to share what we have too, and to not just keep it for ourselves, and to realize how blessed we are with that, and that God is the giver of all things and our ultimate provider. And then pray with humility. Luke 22:42 shows us that Jesus was humble in his prayers and understood that God's will is best. He said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Humbly accepting our condition in life can come to us through prayer. When we don't win the lottery, even though we prayed really hard for it. When we don't get the outcome of a situation that we were hoping for. Maybe it's a cure for cancer that we have, or the birth of grandchildren that we never got. That doesn't mean that God doesn't hear you and that God doesn't care. God is still with us through the highs and lows. And God is still waiting for us to reach out, because the prayer does help us cope with the disappointments and the struggles that come with life on earth. John 14:27 tells us that when we turn to Jesus, it says, "Peace I leave with you." Jesus says, "My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Now, Reverend Gordon Stewart, I just discovered a blog that he writes called Views from the Edge. He's retired now, but he's a really inspirational writer from Minnesota. And in one blog, he wrote about the connection between prayer and a sense of peacefulness and gratitude that we get through prayer. And he said, "I resonate with William Sloane Coffin's reflection in his last years of life following a stroke." William Sloane Coffin said, "There is a Zen paradox whereby we may lack everything and yet want for nothing. The reason is that peace, that is deep inner peace, comes not with meeting our desires, but in releasing ourselves from their power." Basically, he's saying, accept the condition you're in or the state of being you're in. And he went on to say, "I find such peace is increasingly mine. It's not that I feel I'm withdrawing from the world, only that I am present in a different way. I'm less intentional than attentional. I'm more and more attentive to family and friends and to nature's beauty. And he said, although still outraged by callous behavior, particularly in high places, I feel more serene, grateful for God's gift of life, for the compassions that fail not. I find myself saying daily to my loving Maker, I can no other answer make than thanks, thanks, and ever thanks. So thankfulness leads to my last words today on prayer. I leave you with a quote too from the German theologian Meister Eckhart, who said this way back in the 1300s. Imagine it, just 1300 years after the death of Jesus, and it still rings true today to guide us in how to pray. Eckhart taught that it's important to not make prayer too complicated, to not overthink it, to keep it simple and from the heart. He said, if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. Amen.